When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and I've got a special guest, special treat for you, a rarity. We had someone passing through Columbus, found his way to Munson Brothers to the open mic night. I'm here with the Wayfarer Barfly. Brother, how you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. The Wayfaring Barfly, my name's Marty. I'm from Indiana originally, been in Florida for a while. On off seasons, I'm traveling around the country and doing videos of small town bars.
What where did the inspiration for this idea come from?
Well, I considered it kind of evolved through. I had gone to New Orleans and I was inspired. I wanted to go down there and stay and do some be a street performer, and then from that, I wanted to travel around the country and do that. And then I recalled the history of the bar in my hometown. Where it was built in the 30s, about a mile south of town, and then later in the 30s they changed the law in the state that you had to be within a city limits to sell alcohol. So they moved the entire building a mile into town. That was in the 1930s.
Wow.
So from that I thought, you know, there are probably a lot of small town bars around the country that have some interesting history to them. So I've just been traveling around the country and hitting some small town bars wherever I can.
So let's just take Columbus, for instance. Mm-hmm. When you pulled into Columbus, how do you go about picking the bar or place you're going to be at?
Well, I do some searching online to see what looks interesting. I had some doubts about this one, but it was, this one is just, this is definitely one of my top three anyway.
Oh, man.
Yeah, definitely. And I have, right now, I have 70-some videos posted right now, and I probably have at least a couple dozen that I haven't posted yet. But, yeah, this is definitely, I would say, definitely my top three. Yeah, it's just so comfortable here. It just felt like home. Yeah, so I just go online and pick them, and whatever they, you know, if it looks interesting enough, then I'll check them out. And I look for the size, the population of the town. Mm-hmm. I typically go a lot less than what Columbus has. I try to keep it actually 10,000 or less.
Oh, wow.
But actually, I've done quite a few around the 15,000 range and a few around the 20.
I'm curious, like, when it comes to Alabama and Mississippi, those are the two states I'm most familiar with. When it comes to smaller towns and different counties that have these smaller towns, oftentimes it's deeply conservative to where it'll be a dry county in its entirety.
Right.
Have you found any issues with finding the type of towns in the South that you wanted?
I have, actually. Arkansas is probably the toughest. They probably have the most, from what I could find, had more dry counties than any other state that I could see. So I did find some, and that was the challenge there. I'm not completely satisfied with what I found there, but it was something, and that's their bar, that's their small town bar, so that's what you get.
Yeah, it's like just going out to a place looking for a pizza, right?
Yeah.
It's just according to what's there.
Yeah.
So when you're making your way through these towns, I'll move that out of your way. Right. When you're making your way through these towns, if there's an opportunity such as an open mic or they have a stage, you get to share a little bit of your story and share your song.
I do talk to a lot of the people that are there, you know, about what I'm doing, and they have questions. I have questions. The really cool thing that I just love about it is that wherever I go, I can tell my story over and over again. You know, and it doesn't get boring to me, you know.
And you get to add a new chapter.
Yeah. In addition to that, it brings, because all the locals that are there, they already know the story. So they can't talk about it every day. But when I come in a stranger, they get to talk about it again. And they enjoy sharing that information, and I just love it.
Yeah, man. So what are some stories you may have heard about Columbus so far that you found?
Well, it's supposed to be the friendly city.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. Memorial Day, Flag Day, or Decoration Day, or something.
Memorial Day and Decoration Day.
Originated here. I didn't get a chance. I was going to go out and check out some of the places around town today. I might do that before I leave town tomorrow. I still have some daylight left.
Yeah.
But those are the things I found, yeah.
Yeah, so Memorial Day and Friendly City, that goes back to the Civil War. And so we had the University of Mississippi for Women, the W, was a nursing school. And so during the time of the Civil War, a lot of Union and Confederate soldiers were brought to this town to be treated and cared for, and if they passed on, later, our women, after the Civil War was over, they would go to Confederate and Union soldier graves to decorate and memorialize those who had passed on.
That is really cool.
Yeah, that's incredibly historic.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I love. Mississippi does an incredible job with it. Just as you're going down the highway, you'll see these, not really a mile marker, it's more of a memory marker. If they're blue, it's a blues marker. And a lot of people they flew from Europe, they'll fly from Japan just to go to every blues marker in the state of Mississippi. And they'll be in a place like the Blue Front Cafe, which is home of the Bentonia Blues. And it was Jimmy Duck Holmes's mom and dad who used to run that. And it's in an incredibly small town. And the Blue Front Cafe was a place where people would come in throughout the day to pick up a bag of flour or bread, whatever they needed at their home. And also it was a place for information. That was where news about how's your mom and them, that's where that you would go to get the gossip.
Yeah.
Or the truth. And it slowly inspired Henry Stuckey, and you had what they call the Bentonian style blues. And it was developed right there.
Well, then that's the thing I'm looking forward to when I finish. I've got two more states to do, and then I'll have the 48 states done. And when I'm going to do the other two, even though you can't really drive there, and that's predominantly why I did this, because people driving around the country can go to these small-town bars. But that's the thing that when I finish this, there are so many things I want to go back and do it again. I want to play more, but I want to see some of the things that I had to pass by because of time restraints. I didn't have time to do one thing or the other, but I do want to go back. I went to Clarksdale and checked out Clarksdale.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. And so, yeah, I want to check out more of the blues things, just more of the history. And traveling a lot of the back roads, I see a lot of the history, you know, that isn't big history that you see in Gettysburg or places like that.
Sure. And I know some places here in Alabama and Mississippi, it almost feels like you're in the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou film, you know, where it has that kind of hazy yellow on the film itself. It kind of feels like you're in a place at time left behind.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I really, when I started out, you know, I did have one or two people say, aren't you afraid to go to some of those? And I said, nah, I have a pretty good idea when I walk into a place whether to stay or walk out.
Yeah.
And I have not run, I won't say I haven't walked out. I did walk out of one or two, and I won't discuss why, but I have. Being in the South like this, but I always say, or I have often said, that being from Indiana, it kind of qualifies me to do the South, because Indiana, I often say that Indiana is the only Southern state in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of qualified.
It was always interesting. Back when we were in high school, we would go on spring breaks, and we would have a lot of people from like Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and they would come down to Panama City Beach in Florida. And crazy enough, like after we had done it a few years, the people that we found that were from different states that we were easily getting along with, Indiana.
Yeah.
It's like just, even though, you know, Midwest, Southern, but when we met on the beach, the things that we had in common outside of where we were from was, it was spot on.
Yeah. Well, I met, I was working at a resort in Fort Lauderdale at North Beach Village Resort, and when COVID came and it shut down, so I moved back to Indiana for a couple of years, and then I planned my travels. When I went back down there to visit, they asked me to come back to work, and I told them that I wanted to finish what I was doing, and they said, "Well, we don't want you all year round anyway. We just want you to do the high season, and then you can take off." So that's what I've been doing for the past few years. So yeah, if any of y'all down in Fort Lauderdale, just off the beach, North Beach Village Resort, look me up.
I might do that.
Yeah.
So, man, Indiana, work in Florida at Fort Lauderdale. Where was your first stop? Where did the journey begin?
Well, my first stop was in Indiana. I was living there, and I just gave up my apartment, put my stuff in storage, and because I had I had some appointments at the VA and a couple other places. I had some appointments to take care of. So I hung around. And while I was there waiting to get all the appointments done, I did the surrounding states. I did a bunch. I did four or five in Indiana. I did some in Michigan, Illinois, and Kentucky. And then after I finished my appointments, I headed east through Ohio, Pennsylvania. And I was going to try to get that done before it got cold, but I wasn't able to. So I got one done in New York, southern part of New York, southwestern. Then it started snowing, get cold, so I headed south and did the eastern
seaboard.
Yeah, I didn't get close to the coast, but I did the eastern states and down to Florida, where I stayed for that season of the high season. Then I took off again. I did a few videos in Florida while I was working, and then headed.
Those people are incredible to me. Eastern Seaboard on the coast, and even the Gulf of Mexico, is the way of life, and I've, their sense of community is a lot different than like pockets I find that are kind of deeper in the heartland. I don't know if you've kind of noticed anything close to that.
Mostly in the bars, everybody's just so welcoming and friendly wherever I've gone. And I haven't really... Everybody has that sense of community wherever I've been. I think some pride, you know, where they're from and what they're doing there. I'm not sure if I saw... I'm sure there are some differences, but just going to the small town bars, that's what you get.
Yeah.
You know,
you got those pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Staying in the pocket.
But, yeah.
So what about, like, since the journey began and now you've almost been to all of the 48 continental U.S. states, did the dream or the vision, did it kind of morph? And, like, as you were knocking out more small towns and more states, did the dream kind of become realized for the final product?
It has, and it's kind of, I would like to do more with it. I wish, you know, it was just me and my phone doing the video, so they're very, not very high tech, you know, so very primitive films. I would, I have all these thoughts when I do these, you know, nobody knows I'm coming. I just pop in and start talking. And
that's
so, so a lot of times I don't get a whole lot of history about the place. I'd like to get the history of the building, when it was built, what it was when it originated. Like, a lot of them built buggies when they were first built, a lot of pharmacies and hardware stores and car dealerships and things like that that have evolved and then eventually became bars. Some were built bars to begin with.
This building, Munson Brothers, it was not intended to be this.
Yeah, I don't remember what they said it was to start with, but I know they've got the trading post, so they've got some goods in there that they were selling.
Yeah, the building before Munson bought it, the way I understand it, it was used for like a tradesman office, so maybe electricians. That's where the accounting and the books were kept, and it was kind of a hub for them. When Munson bought it, it turned into an apothecary, where the kitchen is now is where we used to make our soap, candles, beard oils, balms. And then the middle section, like when you think about the bar and where the fridge is, that was a church office.
Yeah, that's interesting too. They still have church meetings, Bible meetings here. That is so cool. Yeah.
And then periodically throughout the year, there'll be they'll have yoga lessons in, you know, throughout periods of time, and there's a lot of different activities. And then Munson Brothers, this was the trading post, this was the hub, but COVID was coming, and we kind of saw the writing on the wall. The way that we made our bread and butter was going out to these festivals and selling the beard oils and the soaps and the balms and candles and all that wasn't a thing anymore. And so we had somewhat of a garden, not near what it is today, and the law with selling alcohol was, you can sell alcohol, but they can't be inside. Well, they don't have to be here. They can stay out. So we started slinging beers out of a window.
Yeah.
And
there was a place in Newton, Illinois. It's on, I can't remember the name of the river. It's MVP's, and they've got a campground there too, but MVP's something. They said during the flood, I think it was 2008, they had people coming up in their canoes to the windows.
Very cool. See, it's just like in your journeys and like going to these, that's something else. Is like, this is, you know, it's post 2020, and this is, how did these small towns and small economies fare with the adversity? Because, I mean,
well, a lot of them are in decline a lot.
I bet.
And yeah, it's sad to see it. My hometown is, but
yeah, a lot of I know a lot of towns, a lot of small businesses were completely ruined by it.
Yeah,
and so it's been interesting to like just see how places have began to adapt, and how much has changed. This town itself, it really ebbs and flows when it comes to, I would say, supporting live music.
Yeah.
And right now, it's in a bit of a flow. The town and the people are incredibly receptive, and I think that came from a hunger when we weren't really allowed to do it for a couple of years.
Mm. Yeah.
And people really
like
miss
to
it.
See that. Yeah, I don't usually. That's the thing. I got this place. I timed it right this time because I got to play open mic last night. Because I don't usually get to. I've got to play a few places while I've been traveling, but not enough. The MVP. Another interesting thing about that place is they have an outdoor stage for music, for live music,
mm-hmm.
and that stage was made from parts of the stage from the original Farm Aid concert.
Oh wow!
they gained possession, let's say, of some of that stage and built the stage. So now my goal, I want to go back and play on that stage, so I can say I played on the same stage as Willie and.
Absolutely, yeah, may as well. There, Tupelo's a little bit bigger town than here, but and there's stages in Alabama the same way to where. The boards of those stages are historical, and if you were to peel back or even look on the wall who's played there, I think you'd be pretty well struck, especially when it comes to Americana and the folk tradition of different pockets throughout the country. I mean, in the area that you're from, you're not far from what I would consider the heartland of, I mean, you have Billy Strings, who hails from Michigan, and you have Tyler Childers out of Kentucky, and
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sturgill, he's out of that area as well. I mean, you're not
Michael
far
Cleveland. From, I don't know if you're familiar with Michael Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that has to be interesting, just being in these smaller towns and just kind of hearing some of the, maybe an uncut gem, maybe would be the best way to hear it. I mean, I could only imagine some of the talent you've heard.
There are some pretty good ones. I haven't seen a lot while I've been traveling around because I go from one place to the other. When I was first out, I did spend a lot more time in one place, a few days. And also, when I first started, my first 2 years out, I slept in my car in Walmart parking lots and took showers at Planet Fitness.
There you go.
And now I was able to save up a little money from my seasonal job, and I've been able to stay in hotels this time out. I've spent more than I should have.
Splurged a little bit.
Yeah. But also, while I was doing out, also the other amazing thing, too, is that my mother was one of 12 siblings.
Oh, wow.
And so I've got cousins and relatives all over the country. I've got people I went to school with, went to college with, and from the military, and just different jobs that I've had that are all over the country that I've been able to visit. You know, some of them I hadn't seen in 40 years.
Absolutely.
And that's just been, I can't describe it. It's just been so wonderful, I guess.
That's
so terrific.
That's something that's been real incredible over the past couple of years in my life is rekindling relationships with family members and loved ones that, you know, distance more than anything has kind of carried us away. And when you begin to kind of tell each other you're part of the family history that they had no idea about, and vice versa.
I've learned some things from the cousins and things, and the thing I know some of the people I've gone to visit have been somewhat hesitant because they don't really know me,
sure,
because we haven't been together in 40 decades. So they were hesitant, but they met me, in different places, which was perfectly fine with me. You know, I never expect anything when I go to visit people, whether I'm able to visit or not. I don't expect to stay, and I know they. I'm retired. I have all the time in the world to go out and do this. They still have lives, and they need to do their thing. And I know they can't just stop things, just drop everything, and because I'm passing through, But most of them have, most all of them. I have had some, there have been some time constraints on both ends that, I wasn't able to see some people, but I'm going to get back out there and see them.
That's got to be one thing, and I'm sure you'd probably be interested in maybe running it again and maybe stopping in some of the small towns or maybe trying a different place out, but like with these connections that you've made in your travels, I think that'll make the lodging a little bit easier.
I would like to get back to some of them more than others, but and look for other places that might fit my yearning a little more, what I really like to see more, more of the history. And I've considered calling ahead, just so that there would be someone there that knows the history. I don't want to get into a big to a big production unless I can find someone to sponsor my big production. Then I would do it.
Oh, absolutely. It would truly depend. Like one of the things that I've done, like I throw a festival every April here at Munson Brothers, and it is a celebration of music discovery and also just some of the most talented people that I know and have found in the Southeast. And I've invited comedians down. We get comedians come down from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We did that this past April. I think we're going to do it again for this one. But anyway, because that festival has begun to grow and the community has begun to get behind it, I started a nonprofit. And you would be amazed at how many grants. And like with a project like yours, which I'm sure not a lot of people are taking up, if you were to pitch your idea to some of these states and possibly even a federal grant of telling, like, because this, like, your story is remarkable to me because it's kind of like the white underbelly. And so, and you're like, through your travels, not only are you crafting your story, but you'll be able to tell the stories of a lot of small town America. And so, as far as backing and funding, I don't think you'll have to look very hard.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know if you've considered it, but like
I have. I didn't really know how to go about it, but that's interesting. I'll look into that. Yeah. For sure.
So, just a little bit more about what you're doing with the Wayfaring Barfly. Is that going to be the name of it, or is that just
that is? That's I have my channel on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search the Wayfaring Barfly, and you have to have the in front of it, or
it won't populate. Oh, the algorithm. Just to give people a little bit of a better idea, you're going to these small towns, stopping in the bars. What about like on your travels when you're going from town to town? What does a day in the life of that look like? How far of a drive is it?
A lot of driving. Last year I went out west and I drove 15,000 miles in 3 months.
Whew.
And it was a lot of fun, though, because I saw so much. You know, growing up in Indiana, you know, you always hear about people that have gone out and seen the Rockies. They've seen the Grand Canyon. And you have this picture in your head, you know, but your imagination doesn't come close to the reality. When I got out there and saw that, it was just,
yeah,
wow.
Taken back.
Just, yeah, it was just fantastic.
Just like some more of the travels and like a little bit. What is the channel content? What does that kind of look like?
It's just very basic. I open up with who I am and where I am, and then I go. Then I go inside and with whatever information I got from the people that are there. You know, I'd start outside and the video around the building as much as I can, and then I'll go inside and get what the video of the inside, what they have in there, and just show what basically what the bar has to offer,
right?
And along with the history.
Yeah, man. Like even with some of the Porch Talk episodes I've done, a lot of it has been traveling to a town that I hadn't been in, and now I'm fairly familiar with, because when I got to that town to meet up with a musician to talk to them about where they're from and their music. Oftentimes that would lead to us going out that night to their favorite bar and meeting their friends and meeting some of the locals, and then like asking these questions because I've got another day in the town. So where do the creatives in this town, where do they go? Where's their hub? If you wanted to talk to somebody about history, do I go to the visitor center? Do I go to the library? Like, who actually knows something?
I have gone to I was in Minden, Nebraska, and I was looking for some specific information. I went to the one of the town
clerks,
the city, whatever it was, the clerks or something, but they sent me to the library where there's a gentleman over there that is a historian and has gone through ancestry and stuff in the town. And my grandfather was born in Nebraska, and there's a heavy Danish and Scandinavian population there. And there wasn't much where in the town that he was born, but not too far away in another town, they had some information there that I went out to check out, a cemetery that had a lot of names on those tombstones, including my name and a lot of the names that were in a book, a genealogy book that I have from back in the 1600s.
Wow.
So I'm guessing, you know, they very well could be related in some way or another, you know. But, yeah, so I do. I've gone to, what the heck was it? It wasn't the clerk's office. But anyway, it was one of the city offices I went to. And I do go to different historical sites, like in Clarksdale and in Helena, Arkansas. I went to in Helena, they've got the Delta Cultural Center, so I went in there and checked that out. It's where King Biscuit originated.
Yeah.
And so I find out stuff like that from different cultural centers, and I haven't visited those nearly enough. Yeah, mostly I'm looking at the bars. I would like to do more history. I have done a little bit of history as I've done them about, you know, with the towns. I include a little bit, you know, on some of the towns that I've learned certain things when I was in the bar. But my general direction is to find as much out about the bar itself. But I would like to do more about the towns as I do them as well.
Man, this is gonna be quite the story, and I'm looking forward to going back on the catalog and checking it out and just seeing everything that you found. And it's like a bar room is such an interesting place to get information, because you might be around a bunch of scallywags and they might tell you a load of shit.
You're right about that. Yeah, it's been interesting. But like I said, everybody's been very, very upfront and helpful and friendly. And,
yeah.
And yeah, it's been great. This when I was in Michigan, I had done a couple videos, and both places I went to,
they asked me, they said, have you been to Wolverine Gardens? And I said, no, where is that? And they told me where it was, and I said, well, I drove out there twice yesterday. I didn't see anything out there. Well, so I went out there, put it in my GPS, and turns out I did drive by there. I did see the place, and it looks like it's a vacant, run-down, dilapidated building that looks like it's ready to fall in on itself. And there is a door in the front, and if you, and there's a bar in there. It's called Wolverine Gardens, and it just looks... It, they said it was the second oldest bar in Michigan. It was built in 1898.
Whoa.
And, but it is so... looks like an old barn you might see driving down the road. But the, it was big into polka back in the day. So.
Oh. A little tradition on that.
So I kind of hesitated going in there. You know, I was like, is it safe? But but it was very, it was good. It was very friendly. Don't serve food in there anymore, but there were people coming in and out.
I can only imagine some of the things in your travels. I know, especially like when you get into some pockets, such as maybe deep in Louisiana, is when you get Cajun, just the culture, like the way that it blended between the Spanish and the natives, it's still incredibly interesting down there.
Yeah, I didn't see nearly enough in Louisiana. There were certain time constraints that I thought I had to meet, and as it turns out, I could have spent another day or two there. I did one in Minden, Louisiana. I did one there, and it was not one I don't typically do. Sports bars, but the building was interesting, so I went ahead and did it. I try to stay out of sports bars. I don't do breweries, and those are the main two, I think. I just want small town bars.
Yeah. Any good dives out there?
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of them.
That would be my go-to.
There's a place on, and I can't remember, I was going to write that one down. It's down on the French Broad River. It's in southern Tennessee. Bonarosa, I think. Whatever it is, the guy built it specifically as a biker destination.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And it's a pretty cool place. But there are a lot of those types. There's one in Wisconsin, Buckwheats. It started out, this guy had a potato farm there, and when he passed, they built onto this small house there, and the bar is tiny. I mean, there's hardly enough room to get in there, get in and out. You can probably seat like six or eight people in there maybe, and standing room, you know, there might be four or five other people. But it's on the Chippewa River, and they have some activities out there. There's some cabins there, so I guess it was a resort. And the woman that owns it has, through the years, she said adopted. I don't know if it's adopted or fostered, but she's had like 123 kids that she had staying at her place. Not all at once, of course, but through the years.
Through the years.
103 different kids that she has helped get off the street and get in school and
incredible.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And this place is just tiny, but it's in Ojibwa, Wisconsin.
Man, hearing about a lot of places I hope I get to see. Man, I want to go ahead and start walking it out the door. I was going to ask you three more questions.
Okay.
And then we'll wrap up here. Is question one, just to remind everybody, is the social links, and you said YouTube and just TikTok.
I'm on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook.
And look up the Wayfaring Barfly, right?
Yes.
And include the.
Yes.
Right on. Question two is, where are you headed next?
I'm going to Fort Payne, Alabama. I have a friend that lives there. I'm going to spend about a week there and visit with him. And there's a place in Fort Payne that I think it was a sock factory, and now it's a bar with food and stuff, and I'll be playing open mic there next Thursday.
Well, there you go. Y'all can go see him in Fort Payne if you're out there listening. That'll be great. Fort Payne, that's an incredibly interesting place in Alabama.
That's where the band Alabama is from.
That's right.
Yeah.
That pocket. Alabama, the beautiful. That's what the state's tagline is. And when it comes to ecology, it is, I think, the only state in the union that has all seven different ecologies. It's got, it goes all the way from mountains to the coast. It's got swamp. It has, it's got pine country. It has farmland. I mean, just anything that you would imagine about the United States, everything is represented. When you look at an ecological map of Alabama, it's beautiful. It truly is.
I'll take a look at that.
And and that part that you're in, if I remember correctly, it's in a valley, and it is very gorgeous.
It's actually near, it's on Lookout Mountain where my friend is.
So it's above. That was one of the two.
There's a Little River Gorge that is there. It's beautiful down there.
Yeah, dude, so that's that top right portion then.
Yeah, real close to... Well, maybe an hour or two from Atlanta, about the same, about an hour from Chattanooga, thereabouts.
That's gonna be fun. Is that one of the last stops?
My last state will be Georgia. I'm going to be in Hiawassee, Georgia on the 14th at I'm going to see Emmylou Harris in concert. So.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah. So while I'm there, I'll do some videos somewhere nearby.
Yeah. All right, last question, the walk around the door, is just throughout the conversation, what was your favorite part of it?
My favorite part of my travels?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Just talking to people everywhere I go. Just the love that you get from everyone. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm getting kind of welled up just thinking about it. It is America the Beautiful. It sounds corny, but
it's true.
It is. It's people are just wonderful, just fantastic everywhere you go.
Right on. Well, man, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you, man.
She come in with her knuckles bleeding, 'cause she don't take no dirty double dealing. She don't take no shit off of pimps or dogs with limps or drunks when they cross the line. Hell yeah, I saw you leaving, and I hope to God you keep on speeding. Maybe you can outrun them demons, you just put on the gas. And I don't know where the money all went, and I don't know if I'm a hypocrite, but I can't see if the candle ain't lit. The power's gone and the axle's bent, on the truck I run into the telephone pole, because of corn, whiskey, and rock and roll. Oh, I don't know where the money all went. I don't know if I'm a hypocrite, but I can't see if the candle ain't there. How gone the axle's bent, on the truck I run into the telephone pole, because of corn, whiskey, and rock and roll. President, but I can't see if the candle ain't lit. The power's gone, the axle's bent, on the truck I run into the telephone pole, because of corn, whiskey, and rock and roll. Oh, I don't know where the money all went. I don't know if I'm a president, but I can't see if my candle ain't lit.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Wynn Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WynnSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.